Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 98, closing at 21,310. S&P 500 down 19 at 2,419. NASDAQ Composite down 100 at 6,146. Russell 2000 down 13 to close at 1,403. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 6 basis points at 2.2%. Oil up 34 cents at $43.72 per barrel. Gold up $2.20 at $12.47.70 an ounce. Well, last week, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell unveiled Trump Care, the Better Care Reconciliation Act of 2017. That's the Senate version of the American Health Care Act, which was the House version of a plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. Yesterday, of course, the Congressional Budget Office published its analysis, or score, for Trump Care, and it was ugly. The Senate legislation would repeal Obamacare's taxes and insurance mandates and phase out its Medicaid expansion. It drew criticism from Republican senators on both ends of the ideological spectrum. Conservatives were miffed that it did not fully repeal the 2010 health law, while moderates opposed its deep cuts to Medicaid and blanched at a projection from the CBO that it would result in 22 million fewer people having insurance over a decade. McConnell said he wanted a vote by Thursday or Friday before senators recessed for the July 4th holiday. But that won't happen. Today, McConnell says the vote will be delayed. They will try to make adjustments to the bill to make it acceptable. GOP leaders had argued that more time would not help the public perception of the bill, which is broadly similar to legislation the House passed last month that polls show is deeply unpopular. Now the lawmakers will go home for the holiday, and they're going to hear from constituents, and it will get loud. The president invited all 52 Republican senators to the White House for a meeting this afternoon after initially having little involvement in the Senate's deliberations. Under the reconciliation process, the bill only needs 51 votes to pass, 50 senators plus the vice president. That means if 3 Republicans vote against the bill, it will not pass. And at least 6 GOP senators, Susan Collins of Maine, Dean Heller of Nevada, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Mike Lee of Utah, Rand Paul of Kentucky, Ted Cruz of Texas, said they would vote against even bringing the bill up for debate this week unless changes were made. And there are others stepping up. Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas tweeted that he, too, was against the bill. Senators Rob Portman of Ohio and Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia followed suit soon after. Senators Cory Gardner of Colorado and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska are likely to jump ship or at least press for a better deal, so that's at least 11 Republican senators who are not on board. Conservatives like Johnson, Paul, and Cruz were pushing for amendments that would lower premiums and eliminate or allow states to opt out of Obamacare insurance regulations, including the provision prohibiting companies from charging higher rates to people with pre-existing conditions. Portman and Capito, meanwhile, wanted tens of billions of dollars more to help states fight the opioid epidemic and changes that would soften the billions in cuts to Medicaid. So far, McConnell has not opened the bill to negotiation. For now, the plan is to squeeze holdouts, but it doesn't seem to be working. Yet it would be premature to consider the bill dead. House Republican leaders were also forced off a vote on their bill earlier this year, only to work out a compromise that allowed it to pass weeks later. While the delivery of health care is of vital social importance, Wall Street is focused on the next thing, tax reform. But to get there, the administration must work through health care first so that its impact on the budget can be determined. without a deal on health care, representing one-fifth to one-sixth of GDP. It's difficult to figure out taxes. Wall Street has generally risen since President Trump's election in November, in large part due to hopes that his economic agenda, including massive tax cuts and deregulation, would accelerate economic growth. However, his administration has seen few legislative successes, raising questions about whether the broader market's valuations are justified if the thesis that drove them higher fails to come to fruition. This does not mean that tax reform is dead, just slightly delayed. This means that GOP donors are going to turn up the heat on senators over the coming days, pushing for health care and or tax reform, and those donors will be pushing hard. Fed Chairwoman Janet Yellen told an audience in London today that asset valuations are somewhat rich. She repeated plans to hike interest rates gradually. Fed Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer told an International Monetary Fund event that price-to-earnings ratios now stand in the top quintiles of their historic distributions. Fischer also said rising valuations in equities and in other parts of the global market are partly explained by a brighter economic outlook, but also by elevated risk appetite. San Francisco Fed President John Williams gave a blunt assessment, telling an Australian television station that the stock market is running on fumes. Both Yellen and Fischer touted the capital built up at the nation's biggest banks ahead of the release of the second stage of the stress test due Wednesday. Fischer pointed out that regulatory capital at large banks is now at multi-decade highs. Yellen went further and said another crisis like the one that caused the Great Recession isn't likely in our lifetimes. And, of course, Chair Yellen will be absolutely and totally correct as long as we all die by Friday. The Fed famously was not particularly contrarian in identifying risk before the Great Recession. The IMF coincidentally blessed the Fed's rate hike cycle in their annual review of the U.S. The IMF isn't terribly optimistic about the U.S. economy, projecting 2.1% growth this year and seeing growth slow from there. The IMF also said there were larger than usual risk to the U.S. economy, given policy uncertainties. They threw some shade on Trump's pro-growth agenda, saying that even with an ideal constellation of pro-growth policies, the Trump administration's forecast that it would boost GDP by one percentage point is unlikely. The IMF said the U.S. dollar is moderately overvalued by 10 to 20%. Home prices pulled back slightly in the latest Case-Shiller report. The S&P Case-Shiller 20-City Index rose 5.7% in the three-month period ending in April compared to a year ago. That's down two ticks from the 5.9% annual gain notched in March. Despite those decelerations, prices continued to reflect sturdy demand. Only one metro area in the 20-city index, Cleveland, saw a monthly decline. In Seattle, prices were up 2.6% for the month. Phoenix posted an 0.8% increase for the month and a 5.7% gain over the past 12 months. European Union antitrust regulators have leveled a $2.7 billion fine against Google. EU antitrust regulators said Google abused its dominance in search to promote its own comparison shopping service while demoting those of competitors. Alphabet said it disagreed with the decision, would consider an appeal. Alphabet had $92 billion in cash or equivalents at the end of the first quarter. That means the fine represents less than 3% of Alphabet's cash position. Considering the company generated an average of about $68 million a day in cash during the first quarter, it could raise the cash to pay the fine in just about 40 days. The market hit was bigger. Alphabet lost about $16 billion in market capitalization today. Regulators promised Google was in for years of monitoring to guard against further abuses, and Google will have to prove that rivals have made substantial inroads into its businesses before there's much chance of being off the regulatory hook. Google doesn't want to change its search business model, but the economics of continuing the fight aren't really in Google's favor. Google has 90 days to comply or face additional daily fines. A ransomware cyber attack has hit Europe, and now it's spread to the U.S. The Petya ransomware attack was first reported in Ukraine, where the government, banks, state power utility, Kiev's airport, and metro system were all affected. Radiation monitoring system at Chernobyl was taken offline. Food giant Mondelez, legal firm D.L. Piper, Danish shipping and transport giant A.P. Moller Maersk, and Heritage Valley Health Systems, which runs hospitals and care facilities in Pittsburgh, all said their systems had been hit by the malware. Brazil is bracing for a fresh bout of political turmoil after the president, Michel Temer, became the country's first sitting head of state to be formally charged with a crime. Less than a year after taking power following impeachment of Dilma Rousseff, the deeply unpopular leader was formally accused of corruption by the Attorney General, Rodrigo Janot, and could now face a lower house vote on whether he should be tried by the Supreme Court for taking bribes. In a damning indictment to the Supreme Court, Janot alleged Temer took millions of dollars in bribes from meatpacking giant JBS. The Attorney General said the president had fooled Brazilian citizens and compromised the image of the country. These allegations followed the release of a secret recording of a conversation earlier this year between Temer and JBS executive Josely Batista, in which the president appeared to endorse hush money payoffs to former House Speaker Eduardo Cunha, a member of Temer's party, now serving a 15-year sentence for corruption. Temer's predecessor, Dilma Rousseff, who was ousted in an impeachment plot in May 2016, quick to note that her former running mate was now accused of greater crimes than those for which she was removed from office last year. She tweeted, "The result of the 2016 coup, leaving the country in the hands of the only president indicted for corruption." Dow Industrials down 98 to finish at 21,310. S&P 500 down 19 at 2,419. NASDAQ down 100 at 6,146. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, text, audio, and more at eatthebankers.com.